bewildered. No, not Matpara, my pure devotee. Translation: although aristocratic birth and other such opulence are impediments to advancement in devotional service because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, who was given unlimited opulence, have the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Kuvera wanted to give Dhruva Maharaj a benediction, but although Dhruva Maharaj could have asked him for any amount of material opulence, he instead begged Kuvera he might continue his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is fixed in his devotional service, there's no need for the Lord to deprive him of his material opulences. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never takes away material opulences achieved because of devotional service, although he sometimes takes away opulences achieved by pious activities. He does this to make a devotee prideless or put him in a better position in devotional service. If a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life or material opulences to take to the service of the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus, the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. Hukam karoti bachalam pangulang ete gring yatipatam hambande shi gurung gintanam manchakapatur bhyaschaki pasana bhai vachap titanam pavane bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Manastamba nimittanam janmadinam jam samantataha Sarvashaya Pratipanam Hantamuyanam Atpara. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mana. So mana is false prestige. This is mentioned several times in the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the 16th chapter. The demoniac quality of mana, stamba, also impudence. In Sanskrit, it's very much more colorful than in other languages. They have many words for certain subtle, you know, arrogant, mana, stamba, impudent. Sometimes in English, they just say, you know, this person is puffed up or something, or he's false ego. But we have many subtle delineations in Sanskrit of these words, of these moods, and we're meant to get rid of these things in devotional service. Automatically these things disappear. Pride, false prestige. So in this main idea of the verse is that, especially Prabhupada mentions Dhruva in the purport, he was given unlimited material opulences. And these things, these material opulences don't affect. Srila Prabhupada was the best example we have in the modern age. Perfect example of attaining material opulence. Although in the beginning he didn't have much material opulence, he came, many times he would cite this as something kind of humorous, ironic, that he came with only handful of rupees, which of course were worthless, useless in the United States, and a bag of some kind of cereal, or he had something to eat, and some, he had books. And he said, now I have so many things. He, kind of it sounded like he was bragging, but he had no attachment to any of these things. Completely free of material attachment. Therefore, Krishna was bestowing more and more things. Prabhupada would always be very pleased just to sit. He sat in a small hut in Bhuvaneshwar or Mayapur with no material facility. He was perfectly happy to do that. fact, he even specifically stated that who will come and hear my preaching if I only have these things. But Bhaktivedanta Swami, another Swami sitting underneath the tree in Mayapur, or in a little hut, thatched hut, cottage. So, but Prabhupada was able to go and sit in a very nice quarters, say in Detroit or in Mayapur. And when he first moved into his quarters in Bombay, even the whole building wasn't finished, but his quarters were mostly finished, and he was utilizing. And the same thing happened in Vrindavan. The whole building wasn't finished, but his quarters would be done. Especially in, there's one instance in Bombay, and Prabhupada sitting in very nice quarters, really, if you consider. And been there in Bombay, in the Juhu Tower, very nice, roundish tower, beautiful marble floor, everything very nice. So one gentleman, Mr. Setty, he came to see Prabhupada there in his quarters, and this man is very devoted to Prabhupada. Now he's passed away, and had many wonderful pastimes. Prabhupada stayed in his house, actually, before he moved into the quarters. So he had very intimate relation with Prabhupada, very nice relationship. And he helped, he built the temple after it was destroyed, the small temple, and stayed, and because he was a construction man. Very wonderful man. So when he came to see Prabhupada in his wonderful quarters, Prabhupada said, "So Seti, what do you think of these quarters?" "Oh, very nice, Swamiji." "Prabhupada, very wonderful, nice quarters." So after a while, Prabhupada said, "You know, Seti, if you take sannyas, I will give you these quarters." So Prabhupada wasn't attached to anyone, any quarters. He used to go from here to there. Never mind how wonderful the quarters might be. In fact, they used to get him sometimes very wonderful place. They would try to arrange in Boston and several other places. Prabhupada said, no, I'm not staying outside the temple. I'd rather stay very simply in the temple than in a beautiful, luxurious, or in a hotel room somewhere else. No. Didn't want that at all. It's not that Prabhupada would have been affected by staying in such a place. He did once or twice, but when it was a necessity. Otherwise, no need. If there's any place in the temple, where am I staying? You hear about in Montreal that, you know, Hansadudu was sleeping in one little area, probably had a tiny little room there. In similar, many instances, Prabhupada stayed in very austere quarters also. You see the quarters in Radha-Damodar. Of course, at that time, he didn't have any material opulence. But even material opulence never affected. Never affected. And Prabhupada told one story about Lord Shiva, that that Lord Shiva had living also, you know, with ashes, this example. He doesn't show example of living in palace, but that one time Parvati complained that, "What are we doing living like this? We should have very nice quarters." So he said, "Well, all right, why not?" So he immediately created a very nice palace. She was pleased, very nice. Of course, so many sadhus had to come and bless the place. There had to be some yajna, some installation, or griha pravesh, whatever it's called. So at that time, many sadhus came. At the end, of course, they want some remuneration, some dakshin. Where's our dakshin? So Lord Shiva threw up his hands. He said, "I have nothing. Take the palace." But again, he was without the opulence. So Lord Shiva shows this example, like the wind. But still here, Dhruva Maharaj, he was fighting like anything. He'd been instructed earlier by Narad Muni, but he was very, as a Kshatriya, he was very angry that his brother had been killed by the Yakshas. And he was killing them, just like slaughtering them. Of course, so many things happened. There was illusory, so many things appeared before him to bewilder him. Still, he was expertly killing all these Yakshas. And then his grandfather had to pacify him, Manu, and finally Manu preached to him, "Why are you killing all these men? Haven't really done anything wrong to you. You're killing dying of your one brother, now you're killing them wholesale. And besides, they're related to Kuvera. So finally he was convinced, he stopped. And at the time, Kuvera was very pleased. He said, actually, you know, Dhruva, that your brother, although he was killed, we can only say that he was killed by the time factor. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme doer. So really, you cannot blame the Yakshas. And neither I can blame you for killing so many of my relatives, the Yakshas. Therefore, I'm very pleased with you, your realization. So he wanted to give him any benediction, but Dhruva said, you just give me the benediction of devotional service more and more, that's all. So therefore he's being cited here, although he was very opulent, also given, you know, so much reign over the universe. Dhruva, the pole star, all the things unfolded there. So although this verse is not so much a gigantic verse, but there's interesting words here. Sarvashreya, the supreme benefit of life. Such opulence are impediments to advancement in devotional service because they're causes of false prestige. So this Sarvashreya, we're all after Shreya. Shreya Uttamam. Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. One has to approach a guru to find out what is the Shreya. Material world, ordinary persons are after prayas. Prayas is compared to, many times Prabhupada mentioned, like a child playing near the ocean and creating so many. When we go on Harinam sometimes, we see they create very nice things on the beach, sculptures, and like castles. But after the tide comes, they're finished. So it's temporary. This is the prayer. So Shreyas, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives this. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, the ultimate benefit. Shreya Kamasi Mudanam. Many times in Bhagavatam this word is used. Shreya. The ultimate benefit. Shreya Uttaman. Uttamam. This world is tama, darkness. So the Uttama, that we approach the Guru for the Shreya Uttamam, beyond this tamagun, ignorance. It is not, as Kapila Des describes, Shantarupe. The opulences that a devotee receives, because if he has any opulence, he uses them for Krishna. This is considered like Vaikuntha. Nakahachin mat para shantarupe. Nangshanti no namisho lady heiti. When Kapila Dev was speaking with his mother, he used this word, mat para also. Shantarupe, mat para shantarupe. Prabhupada says Shantarupe is the mother, but the mother, she typifies a pure devotee, and the pure devotee's activities are all like Vaikuntha. Therefore, Kapila Dev says that these opulences that a devotee receives, if he does get opulence, they cannot be destroyed by any amount of weapons, by the time factor, nimish, animish. In this verse, animish means the time factor. Nimisha means to blink. The time factor does not blink. It is always very aware of all of our activities. So therefore, this word is used very nice, poetic. Nakarachin, at any time, these things cannot perish. Nakarachin matpara shantarup, my matpara, my devotee. And he says, Sakaguru suhrido daivamishtam. Because my devotee, he takes full shelter of me. He sees me as the guru. Sakha Guru, a friend, and as the ultimate worshipable object, relatives, everything like that. This is some of the instructions Kapila Dev gave to his mother. So the time factor cannot interfere. If we see someone like Srila Prabhupada attaining so much opulence, and Krishna knows automatically that this opulence will not be misused. He will create Vaikuntha in this so-called material world. So another word here, Shreya, Sarvashreya Patipanam, they're generally impediments. Patipanam, for ordinary persons. We have seen so many devotees, or of course the karmi, non-devotees, whatever they are. They may be vikarmi, karmi, or... These are impediment for a neophyte devotee or anyone less than a self-realized person. These things can be an impediment. Of course, Patipanam, there's a verse referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he destroys these Patipan. The verse is one of the verses, important verses of the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj speaks that Itam Nitiriya Vridevita Shavatarar Lokam Dibhavasi Hangsi Jagat Pratipan. That Prahlad Maharaj is praising the Singhadev in this verse, and he's saying that you appear Lokam Dibhavasi Hangsi Jagat to destroy those who are demoniac in nature. And you appear, Itam, as a, you might appear as a human or even as other species, rishi, as a rishi, deva, a demigod, or as a fish, animal, in various ways you're appearing. So in this particular verse, it ends, Chanakalo yada bhavas triyugota sattvam. You're a tree yuga, you appear in three yugas, but in Kali Yuga he's chana, covered. So Mahaprabhu also, Dharma Maha Purusha Pasi Jagana Rittam. He maintains the Dharma. So Mahaprabhu, Krishna, he has appeared in this Kali Yuga also. We were just hearing so much nectar during Gaur Purnim. Although Gaur Purnim might be over, but still, the glorification of Lord Chaitanya is always auspicious. And especially when we understand he has come as Yuga Dharma Apalo, Dharma Mahapurusha. He's the Mahapurusha. And he comes throughout the different yugas. And in Kali Yuga, he appears covered. And he destroys the Pratipanam. Pratipa, all these impediments for a devotional service. How does he do it? So many ways, but especially since this verse is here, this word is here, Shreya. Shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavaru jivanam. He's given us eight prayers. Eight. Hey, Gurukula, how many prayers did Lord Chaitanya give us? Who knows? 90, how many? Eight prayers. Astakam. Shiksha astakam. Shikshayat. Shiksha means to teach. So Lord Chaitanya is the original teacher. We have your teachers in the school, and we have our teachers on the billboards. We have teachers everywhere trying to teach us so many nonsense things. But Lord Chaitanya is Shikshartam Ekam Purusha Purana. He is the original person. He's the original teacher. Shikha Diya Shabna Diya. He appeared with Nityananda, his transcendental brother. And Shikha Diya Shabna Diya. All over Nadia, he has given so many teachings. Verche Nichi Gorni Tai. And what did they do? They walked, and they chanted, and they danced, and they gave so many teachings. So Lord Chaitanya gave only eight prayers. And the first one, Chaitra Darpanam Arjanam Bhavmaha Devagni Nirapanam Shreya Kairava. He's describing this Shreya as a Kairava Chandrika, as the moon which becomes brighter and brighter. Of course, this is a transcendental moon. Lord Chaitanya is also a moon. And it increases till it becomes very full, and it, even then it becomes increasing. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. In the material world, people are looking after so many material pleasures, but they're not Anandam Buddhivardhanam. They don't increase in pleasure. They get tired of them. Tired of them. And therefore they're very dry. People are fighting. over so many nonsense things, small things, and designations, false prestige. I am so-and-so, therefore I will kill these other guys on the next block or across the fence, and because they are not the same as me. I'm so important. This is the false prestige. So the material world means conflagration or fire. Bhava Mahadav Agni. The material world is bhava, means to become. You're always constantly being reborn, trying to enjoy again and again. So Lord Chaitanya is saying there in that verse that the ultimate benefit, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, means, part of it means that we escape this fire of this material world. Bhav Mahadav Agni. Mahadav Agni, a forest fire. It comes, nobody knows how. It's blazing fire. We're trying to enjoy the fire. Blazing waves of fire. This is the material world. So Mahaprabhu is giving this Shreya Kairava Chandrikava. Nandamudi Vardhanam Patipadam Purnam Ritasvadam. And how does it manifest? Purnamrita Svadhanam. It gives a full taste. Purnamrita Svadhanam. What is the full taste of this nectar? Amrita. First of all, it's Amrita, which means it's not material. Real Amrita cannot be material, because Mrityu, Mrita means death. So these opulences, which don't die, Param Vijayate, Shri Krishna, Sankirtanam. Therefore, he says, all glories to this chanting of Hare Krishna. Nandamudi Vardhanam Patipadam Pranamitasvadhanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the most important thing that Mahaprabhu has come to give us. All his instructions, everything, all our shlokas meant to that we taste the full nectar. And that full nectar is there simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Muhyen doesn't become bewildered. Right in the Bhagavad Gita we have a famous verse, Dehi Nosmin Yata Dehi Komaram Yovanam Jara Tata Dehantaram Praptir Dhiris Tatrana Muhyati. A dhira, someone who's taken full shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, he doesn't become bewildered. Even at the change of the body. Dearest Tatra Namuyati, Dehi Nosminyata Dehi, Matpara. The pure devotee is Matpara. He's taken full shelter of Krishna. So another example given of Matpara devotee is Ambarish Maharaj, because he had many opulences. So therefore, because he was detached from them, it's even described in detail, all the different things. Mukundalingalaya Darshana, the show. He only liked to see the form of Krishna, just like Dhruva Maharaj. He was trained by Narad Muni to see the form of Krishna. When he saw Krishna, he said, Swamin Najache, Swamin, what is it? Huh? Kritartosmi Najache. I am fully satisfied. Although he was trying to get a kingdom better than his father, grandfather, when he finally got the darshan of Krishna, Swamin Kritartosmi, Kritartosmi, Varam Najache. I don't want any other Varam. Varam. Just like in the Dhammadharastakam, Varam Deva Damodara. Varam Deva Damodara. What is that verse? Ananta Vishnu Prasida. I'm very happy just to get to see Krishna in his Bala form as a boy. We're happy to see Krishna as a boy, as a youth. Therefore, we don't require any other boon, any special material thing. And if it comes, just like with Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't trying to get anything. He came on a boat, didn't have money even for the boat. But Krishna was taking care of him, fully protecting. He was Matpara. So we take these examples. And if one is too attached, as it also says in the purport, he sometimes takes away the opulence achieved by pious activities. He does this to make the devotee prideless, put him in a better position. So sometimes people are tested, parikshaya, tested, just as even Vamana said, he tested Bali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested, he tested Sanatan, tested other devotees in different ways. Sanatan Goswami was, especially it said he was tested when, it was a small test, he easily passed it, but these are great devotees, they always passed. They pass the test. But if one is not so advanced, many people fall away. Their things are taken away or something happens and they think that they're abandoned by Krishna. Then they again try for material things. But one can never be happy with those material things. So, material thing, if you're a devotee and you again try to get them, this, you can try to forget. And you can forget. That's possible. Prabhupada described one early devotee as some other new devotees had gone to try to convince him. This was already in 1966. He was in the first initiation, so other devotees went to see him. They came and told Swamiji that, Swamiji, we went to see him, but he said, I've forgotten all that. After 1 or 2 months, he said he forgot. So Prabhupada gave him his examples. Yes, if you want to, Krishna will let you forget. Apohanam cha. You will forget. But that forgetfulness, there's in, for a real devotee, if he's out trying to enjoy, he can never enjoy. Krishna has already arranged it. Cannot enjoy material world. Because again and again he will think of the transcendental bliss that he has achieved. That verse is there by Narad Muni that once having tasted that bliss, rasagraho jana. What's the beginning of that verse? Forgot it. Anyway, very wonderful verses by Narad Muni, and one of them he's describing like that. That a devotee can never really enjoy the material world again because he's, again and again he'll think of that transcendental bliss. Because the body is changing, is dying, it's a dead vehicle, it's not going anywhere, it's a sinking ship. It's a dead end program like we heard recently. It's going to explode. Time bomb is there. So it may die immediately or gradually. So we cannot identify with it. Trouble, mana stamba. So gradually this life or the next, we will attain Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, therefore, why not do right now? You've spent so many lives trying to enjoy. Take one small life and try to do something for Krishna. So, is any comments here? The senor, he needs a microphone.
So, they're referring to a devotee that sometimes he takes away and sometimes he doesn't. So, there's something in the mentality that attracts that response from Krishna. That he sometimes takes away. So we're hearing about this. So what is it that we should be aware of that in our consciousness that would prevent Krishna from taking everything away or not? There's something subtle because externally it looks the same. Two devotees are doing devotional service, but yet it happens to one and doesn't happen to another. What is the element there that's Krishna is rectifying?
Well, it's given here, manastamba, impudence and false prestige. That happens also on a day-to-day platform. I mean, therefore Krishna says, that one has to be immune, transcendental to praise and blame, because as soon as we get praise many times, or any position, then we're thinking, oh, well, I, so and so. Next thing you know, you're pulling out in front of traffic and getting smashed, or you're stubbing your toe, or anything can happen. Something happens to cut down your fault, to realize that these things are all temporary.
It's actually like a distraction. Your consciousness shifts from remembering Krishna and with that feeling, and then the feeling starts to become reduced and you become caught up again with the external energy, so that's when he needs to intervene to help a little.
That's why hearing and chanting continually, Nitya Da, is recommended.
So it's a, kind of a subtle thing, you just kind of, like a Niyamagraha, you just move over a little bit your consciousness.
Therefore, we're enjoying to be always hearing, chanting, associating, living in the Dham. All those things engender purifying the consciousness. Therefore, so the false ego cannot rear its ugly head, the false prestige, the impudence, all those things. And if we think of the Guru, our Guru, Srila Prabhupada, such great persons as that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we are Dina. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing himself. Or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Dasosmi. They're thinking themselves servant. Mahaprabhu is being addressed as Krishna, but you are Krishna. He's holding his ears.
So that means we're like, we have to reflect on our chanting to see if it's, if all these things are taking place, or because it's subtly, the covering's moving very...
They're taking place, don't worry. You don't have to worry about it.
It seems like you have to reflect to see, is this up to, am I progressing?
Right. Okay, question over there.
Srila Prabhupada used that story of Dhruva killing the Yakshas when he opened up the branch of the bank in what is now Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan. It's now right. His library, but they opened up a bank there originally, a branch, and there was a big ribbon cutting ceremony. The manager was there, bank manager, etc. And Prabhupada said that while Dhruva was killing the Yakshas, Prabhupada said, like anything. And so finally, when he was asked to desist, he did. So because of that, Kuvera offered him a boon, and Dhruva could have taken the riches and wealth of the universe. But what did he ask for? He said, kindly pray that I simply remain devoted in the devotional service to the Lord. So Prabhupada said, so similarly, we have the same request of the local Kuvera, the bank manager. We ask that he simply pray that we remain fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Good. Anything else? He told some other funny stories too, but I forgot them. Throwing money in a wishing well.
You mentioned that the opulences of a devotee do not become affected by the time factor.
So. Kapila Dev. Nakarchin Matpara Shantarupe. If one is Matpara, his opulence is not destroyed by time or any weapon or demigods. This is in 325:37, maybe. Good verse. But he has to be Sakagaru Suhridam Daivamishtam. He has to accept Krishna as guru, as friend, as child, and so many things. That means you'll be pretty elevated by that time. Especially guru, I mean, we understand that Mahaprabhu is guru, and that all the gurus representing him, he's the Nityananda original Adi Guru also. So that much we can understand. Anything else? Chaturama? Chaisha? Tamaha. All right. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.